we continue on with Victor Vigiani.
I do have something that I think we should listen to. There's a wonderful documentary by Jennifer Fry on CBC this morning talking about Quebec interest in the star-based weapons program that our country is somehow grappling with in order to decide whether or not we want to participate in this. And I only bring this up because I'm trying to look at what I call converging lines of evidence, things that seem to be initially very disparate pieces of information. Mm-hmm. And once you get these pieces of information and bring them together with the whole UFO phenomenon and try to match them up and see what kind of intricacies link them together. And if you get two different pieces of information, all of a sudden somehow magnetically are attracted to one another. This whole Star Wars or the space-based weapons initiative that the United States is asking Canada to be part of is a very interesting one. And I know we did some work with Carol Roslin, former general manager for Fairchild Industries. She had some very interesting things to say. So we're going to try to get these two pieces of information and put them together and see what we can come up with.
This is from CBC Radio 1.
Yep, it's a rather interesting little bit of information.
As Jennifer Fry learned on her visit to Montreal, opponents warn if the Prime Minister pursues the plan, it will spell electoral disaster for the Liberals.
Inside the Catholic Archdiocese of Montreal Wednesday morning, the Justice and Peace Committee is hearing all about missile defense.
We see that missile defense is part of an overall plan that is much, much bigger. And in their words, it involves U.S. Space Command, that's the agency, dominating the space dimension of military operations to protect U.S. national interests and investments. Nothing to do, you notice, with protecting human beings from terrorism.
Judith Berlin is reading from the U.S. Space Command's Vision for 2020, a seven-year-old document that describes space-based weapons. She explains her own opposition.
I think it's a fact that the technology does not work at this point. Mm-hmm. It's been described as trying to hit a bullet with a bullet, an almost impossible feat to accomplish, right? But they will spend billions, and that is a fact, in trying to make it work.
Now, and, who's going to benefit from it?
Well, that's it. That means lots and lots of contracts for research and development to what I call the military industry.
From CBC Radio 1's The House this morning, trying to hit a bullet with a bullet.
Isn't that an
and
interesting
metaphor?
Who are
they trying to protect and from what?
Exactly. Now, when you go on into that entire clip, a bit further on into the clip, one of the people who's participating in the seminar that Judith Berlin was running, he talks about, and it was just a member of the audience, and he said, what is the threat here? They've manufactured a terrorist threat, and they've manufactured an ideology that we have to be protecting against something. So now they've created the terrorist threat.
Terrorists in space.
Well, assuming that somehow these terrorists would manufacture some type of
intercontinental ballistic missile
or a delivery system of some sort, which is very difficult to believe because I don't think they can get anything off the ground.
Well, the Scuds would only go, what, 30 miles out of Iraq?
My point is if they got one of these things off the ground, that this space-based whatever weapon system could knock it out of the air, as she described hitting a bullet with a bullet. Now, that's really not the point of what I'm trying to get at here. The point of what I'm trying to get at is if you get this information and put it together with Carol Roslin's information, about her description of what Wernher von Braun talked to her about back just before he passed away, that the United States was attempting to develop different kinds of threats so that we could put space weapons above the planet. And first of all, there was the Russians. We had to be afraid of them. So we had to have a space weapon system for them. Now, that's passed. So what's the next threat? Then the next threat was supposed to be asteroids. We have to put space weapons up there to shoot down these asteroids that are coming to destroy the planet. If that's not going to work, then we have to get nations who are a threat, or rogue nations, which is, in essence, the terrorists. It could develop into anything. So, in other words, this space-based weapons program is being put up for a series of reasons, all of which have been fabricated all the way along. So eventually, one way or another, the United States is going to get this stuff up in the air. So what will motivate them to motivate the public to get this stuff up there? My guess is an ET hoax threat. And I think if we can get Carol Roslin on here to describe hers, the way she describes it, it just fits together so nicely, Errol, that it's absolutely scary.
Good morning. My name is Carol Roslin. In 1974, After being a sixth grade school teacher, I was introduced to the late Dr. Wernher von Braun in the U.S., the father of rocketry. In my first meeting with him during that first 3.5 hours, he said to me, Carol, you will stop the weaponization of space. And I said, teachers don't stop until June. He said, no, you have to understand, this is February, and we have to prevent the weaponization of space because there is a lie being told to everyone that the weaponization of space is now first being based upon the evil empire, the Russians. There are many enemies, he said, against whom we're going to build this space-based weapon system, the first of whom was the Russians, which was existing at that time. Then there would be terrorists. Then there would be third world countries. Now we call them rogue nations or nations of concern. Then there would be asteroids. And then he would repeat to me over and over, and the last card, the last card, the last card would be the extraterrestrial threat. Well, at the time, I kind of laughed when he said asteroids, and when he said extraterrestrials, I knew I wasn't going to deal with that subject. And now we hear on the news just today, this week, that they've slid in another enemy. Only this time we're going to protect our satellites. In other words, we have to have some reason to spend these trillions, to waste these dollars on a space-based weapon system, and they're all lies. This is a system, he told me, that would never protect anyone. Even back then, he talked about suitcase bombs. He talked about chemical, viral, bacterial, biological warfare that these space-based weapons would never protect us against. And then he told me that, in fact, if you travel around the world, which I did after he died in 1977, I met with people in over 100 countries who were friends. They didn't want to build space-based weapons. I became a space and missile defense consultant.
Carol Rosin, talking at the Disclosure press conference 2.5 years ago, the press club in Washington, D.C. Nicely put together, Victor.
Doesn't that make sense?
Doesn't it, Doc?
I don't know. I mean, hit me with a door in the forehead, but it just makes sense to me.
And remember where SDI started? Ronald Reagan.
With Mr. Reagan, that's right.
I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside this world. And yet, I ask you, is not an alien force already among us? What could be more alien to the universal aspirations of our peoples than war and the threat of war?
Ronald Reagan, speaking at the United Nations,
he sort of hit the nail right in the head.
Didn't he know? And war with whom?
What did he know that we still don't know?
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason that I brought up those two things, and then your idea about bringing Ronald's comments in, is looking at converging lines of evidence. I'm not talking about proof about all of this. I mean, we have no proof. But we do have to look at converging lines of evidence that make sense. And as soon as you bring those lines of evidence together, they draw a picture for you that's undeniable. And that's why I say that we have to begin to politicize the issue. And that's something that we have to do. We have to begin to politicize it and talk about it more on a real level. I'll say no more.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Right. Until next time you're on the radio.
You
right?
Got it.
Thank you, Victor Vigiani.
You're welcome.
That's it for this week. Program 319, next Saturday night at 10.